Welcome to Hearing God with Gary and Jane Berry. Do you want to grow in your intimacy with Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus? Join us as we share insights and practical tips that you can apply today. Hi, I'm Gary Berry. Together with my wife, Jane, we host Hearing God, a podcast that helps people to hear from God. Today, we're looking at making time to hear God.
Gary, before we get into it, let's share how we've both heard God recently. Do you want to go first?
Well, I was doing a job for someone recently. It was quite a large job, and there was a particular thing that really was beyond our expertise. That was cutting the top of some cypress trees. I didn't know what I was going to do in that situation because I wanted to try and achieve the total job, but that was beyond our capacity. Now, I heard the word chai, thinking chai. What does chai have to do with cutting it? Because, I mean, I don't drink chai, so why would I even be thinking about chai? And then I realized, chai, he's the name of a guy that does some hedge work that I often pass high jobs to. And so I thought, well, perhaps I should contact him. Anyway, cut a long story short, brilliant. He was the person. I didn't even know that he could climb trees like that. But I got him to come. He took out the top of them and he did it in the time that he was available and the day that I was available to be there to clean up the mess that he would make. It was brilliant. But it was through just hearing that word chai. Jane.
I love how the one word can have a couple of different meanings. It could have a name or it could be a drink. For me, last week I began to really get stressed. And I'm not someone who really gets anxious, but I felt, just the amount of things, the amount of tasks I had that needed doing urgently. And usually when that happens, I make lists and I make another list and I make another list and I procrastinate. But I went, I've learned not to have anxious thoughts. So I immediately go to 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 and I take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so this time I just settled and I went, Lord, what do you want me to know about all these tasks and about this situation? And Lord, what do you want me to do? And almost immediately we had a text come through that cancelled something big or put it off. And that was like, oh, wow. That gave me breathing room. I was like, oh, my God, isn't it amazing how you work? Now, when we look at making time to hear God, in most of our episodes we have these amazing stories. Today, yeah, there's probably no huge story. We both tend to make time to hear God just in our general life and don't have these amazing stories. Although I can remember a number of years ago, both of us did a course over a number of weeks and it ended up with you went away for 3 days and 48 hours of a silent retreat. It was actually really easy the first day. But I tell you what, when I got up the morning of the second day, I just wanted to talk to someone. And then by lunchtime, I was craving to talk to someone. And that night it was like, I've still got to be silent, but I want to actually talk to a person with flesh on. I tell you what, that silent retreat really helped me hear God clearly. It really removed a lot of junk.
That's great, Jane.
So our first principle would be intentional. Often a barrier to hearing God is that we don't make the time to actually hear God. It's stilling our heart, helping our heart be still. So Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. When you look at the whole chapter, because it's easy to just pluck a verse out, we all know, be still and know that I'm God. But when you look at the chapter and the surrounding verses, the context of that verse, the whole chapter is about our almighty God and his power and strength and being able to be still and trust God in all this trouble. It talks about God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We don't need to fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. It talks about God makes wars cease. Things like that. So there was calamity happening, but in the midst of calamity, being still.
I like to say, Jane, and I remember saying to someone recently that it's good to take a step back to take two steps forward. And I think in taking that step back, that's where we can be intentionally taking that step back to hear from God, and then we can take those two steps forward.
I know for me, sometimes I get so focused.
I can't imagine you being focused, Jane.
My kids would say that. I get so focused on something that I forget about other things. And, you know, Josh will often come to the office door and say something, and I've got to intentionally stop and focus on him, because I try and multitask. And when I try and multitask, you know, women tend to have that power. I can multitask, but it's people that miss out. I tune out their voice. And sometimes I actually forget to ask God, and I'm intentionally at the moment trying to train my mind. And that's where I have this little alarm, well, it's a beep that goes off on the hour just to help me stop. Oh, God, it puts my thoughts back on God and praising him, thanking him, being aware of his just awesomeness and his power and almightiness, but then going, oh, God, with what I'm doing right at the moment, what do you want to tell me about that? I'm big at planning my week and my day, but being open to how God is leading me. Gary, how are you intentional about how you make time to hear God?
Look, sometimes I know when I'm intentional, there's a real clarity that comes. Sometimes for me, it's to actually get away from the house. Jane can thrive in the house and hear from God and go about doing her thing. I think because my work is so focused for those 8 hours or whatever the job is that we're doing, yeah, I'm very intentional about doing that. I need to be intentional about breaking away. I love to get in the car, and just at the bottom of our street, we can see the ocean. Or two streets away, we can look out on Port Phillip Bay, and no matter what is happening, whether it's a beautiful warm day, whether there's a bit of a breeze, whether the sky is grey and it's a raging, perhaps not a raging thunderstorm, but I just love being down there, and I find I can have real intimacy with God and have real clarity with him.
I can remember when we were dating 34 years ago, you would actually go to One Tree Hill, or you'd go out into the bush, and nature really helps you focus, hear from God.
Yeah, we're living in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, and at the back of that is the Dandenongs. And yeah, I love getting out in the bush, but Jane loves the beach, so we live near the beach. And so I make the most of being near the beach. But being in my car, sitting on the beach does nothing for me, but sitting in the car and just looking out on the water is wonderful.
Back to our topic today. Second principle, being careful not to go overboard. We can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Now, I have friends who ask God everything. Please hear me, I'm not judging them. What to wear, what to do, this, that, everything. For me, that just does my head in. I get decision overload, choice overload. Typically, like in my cupboard, wardrobe, I have 4 blue T-shirts, 2 pairs of jeans, a couple of black T-shirts. I grab whatever's on top of the pile to put on that day. I don't decide, oh, what am I going to wear today? What will I do? It's like breakfast cereals. Years ago, when I was growing up, there was only a couple of cereals. Now you go into the supermarket, there's a whole aisle of breakfast cereals. It's like giving a kid, oh, what would you like for breakfast? You know, there's a choice of 10 things. It's too many choices. We get to the end of the day, decision overload. We have to be careful about things, about what we're thinking of, so that we leave room for God. Now, saying that, if something comes to my attention and I'm learning this, if my attention's caught by something, like I have a particular necklace that a really close friend gave me. It's made from an old spoon and it's heart-shaped and I absolutely love it. So if my attention's brought to that, I often wear it because it just catches my attention. And I usually know it's because of a prophetic reason about the symbol of the heart. It's capturing every thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Another verse, which is my life verse, is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so it's helping us renew our mind to Christ's way of thinking. Gary, is there anything you'd like to add at this stage?
Well, when you talk about not going overboard, I think about sort of balancing, keeping things in balance. God's a good God, and he wants to give us the freedom also to make choices. He's not a controlling God. Yes, he gives perspectives, and especially when we ask, he will answer. But he wants to give us freedom to choose things too.
That's a good point. Our third principle is practice stilling your thoughts and focusing on God. Now, we all have 168 hours in our week, 10,080 minutes per week, and it's how we use them. For me, God speaks a lot through my dreams. We spend a third of our life in bed, and so I want that third to make time to hear from God, but I desperately need to sleep. And so I say to God, often before I go to sleep, God, can you answer me tonight? Show me this answer, or I'm just really open to how you want to speak to me tonight. I'm a prolific dreamer. I have a lot of dreams, and often they will be about things for the next day. I tend to have to unpack them, and they can symbolize stuff. They can be warning dreams. And we will do a session on dreams and dream interpretation in the future.
You seem to have a really good understanding of that, because often there's concepts, there's ideas that are in the dream. And you seem to be able to unpack them, and people that ask you, it really makes sense to them once you unpack what actually those things say. So, yeah, I think it's a real strength that you have, Jane. I really appreciate that in you, and I see it often when people contact you about unpacking their dreams. So I look forward to us unpacking that on an episode coming up.
Usually with unpacking dreams, it relates to what else is happening in your life at the moment. And 90% of the time that you dream about the someone else in your dream, it's usually about what that person means to you or symbolizes. It's not actually about the person.
So you've had people contact you because you've been in their dream. As they've told you, you've said, I don't think it's about me. And you've turned it around and it's really opened it up for them.
Yes, although I've got a friend who will dream about me every so often. And one day, about 5 years ago, she was sharing, I had this dream about you last night. You and Gary were at this table and you were recording. She thought it was like a news, a media thing. You had microphones and stuff. I thought of that recently and I thought, and actually we're podcasting. We've got microphones, headphones, we're at this table. And it was like preparation in my mind.
Foretelling.
Yeah. So as we practice stilling our thoughts, or we could call it soaking or meditating, and that's on God. It's who we turn our thoughts to when we are meditating. When I go to, I pray at the beginning to silence any other thoughts. Voices. So I may put on music. I generally don't have music with words in it because that tends to counter me hearing from God. And even now, I tend to not put music on. I just like to sit or walk and focus on God and just still my thoughts and put them on God so that he can speak to me. But if I'm trying to silence other thoughts, I may pray something like, Father God, what do I need to know from you about such and such? Or I may say, if I'm really desperate, really sort of more into warfare stuff, I'll go, as a beloved daughter of the Most High God, who has accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Saviour, and having been given authority by Jesus in Matthew 28:18, John 14:12, and Luke 10:19-20, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over Satan and his fallen angels and command that they be rendered deaf, mute, and blind to my prayers and removed from my presence. And according to 2 Corinthians 10:5, I submit my own voice to the shed blood of Jesus and command that my own thoughts be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I go, Lord, what would you like to tell me about? And I may wait in silence for usually 5 minutes, could be a bit longer, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, really starts to unpack stuff. I usually go through a period of it being uncomfortable, and usually during those uncomfortable times, I'm wanting to short circuit the process and try and change things. But if I can last out the uncomfortable silence, there's a depth and a clarity that comes in. And I like to write down what I hear so I'm not mistaken in the future.
So that's journaling.
Journaling,
whatever you want to call it, writing those things. Can also say when it comes to this intentionality, Jane, it sort of goes against your upbringing. You grew up on a farm where you just had to go out and work all the time. There'll always be something to do.
Very task-driven. So even of a night, after dinner, we had to be doing craft or sewing, or you just couldn't sit. We didn't have a TV, but you just couldn't sit and do nothing. You had to be intentional and work the whole time. Now, I mean, there was some good play times as well.
And you played cards heaps and different things.
Another thing I like doing, if I have a question I'm really wanting to ask God, really hear his heart on, sometimes I'll go to what we call a God space, a picture in my mind of where I've heard God clearly before. So for me, I heard God say some significant stuff to me when I imagined in my mind that I was lying down on this wooden pier with slats and there were holes between the slats, and Jesus and I were lying down and were looking down at me and the issue, and he was talking to me. And that to me is a really favourite place, that a really intimate place that I sometimes go to in my mind and imagine myself lying on a pier looking down at the issue that I'm faced. That may not make sense, but yeah.
It makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah. What you're saying is some people like to go to different environments to, like I said about going to the beach or being up in the bush somewhere. What you're saying, sometimes we're able to be intentional in going to a place in our mind, in our thoughts, wherever we are. And that's a place that we just know we encounter Jesus in. And so if we're on a train, if we're driving, whatever, I mean, not closing your eyes if you're driving, but we can go to that place, and it's intimacy that we have with Jesus, and you hear from him very specifically at those times.
It's like in the shower of a morning. So I know that I will hear God when I'm in the shower. So I go, oh, what will I ask God today? What's an issue? I also love walking on the beach, and especially during storms when the waves are thundering in and it's blowing a gale. I actually love those times on the beach. I just hear God. It's like I envisage his love thundering in
Being overwhelmed by his love, that's what you're saying,
isn't it? Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Our prophetic activation, which is purely a time where you can practice hearing from God, turn your heart and thoughts to Father God and ask him, God, what would you like to tell me about how I manage my time? What would you love me to know? What would you love me to stop doing? Or start doing? Or change? Holy Spirit, what are you praying for me regarding this? And just flesh that out with God. Just ask him questions about that. As at the end of every episode, we also have a time where we've asked God what he would love to say to a listener. Gary, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I saw this really large building, high building, and I sense that there's people there that are really asking God for this next season of their life. They're wanting to see sort of the bigger picture. And I sense that this building sort of, it's like a building that stands out above all the other buildings in the town. And that God's going to give you the capacity to see beyond the daily, not daily grind, but the daily things that you do, to see the bigger picture, where you're heading, what you're doing. But there's going to be, like, as you go up in this building, there's going to be an acceleration because you're actually in the lift, giving you that acceleration up to the top so that you can have a look. And that's going to really build your faith and sort of help you in the day-to-day, in the moment-by-moment, recognizing that every step that you take is towards the fulfillment of the vision that God has for you for this next season of your life.
I like that. I saw a picture of your hands cradling a mug. There was steam coming out of the mug that was rising, and just had a sense that it was first thing in the morning and you were taking a breath before the day started. And I just heard those words, watch and see what I will do in and through you today. There'll be some changes, some interruptions, but watch the outcome. Lean into me. It was an invitation to lean into me. And I just really was reminded of 1 Samuel 12, verse 16. Stand still and see this great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. So it was a real affirmation of, wow, something may happen today that is a bit unexpected, but God's working. God's going to come through in an amazing way. Gary, would you like to pray for us?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing further in relation to that word that I gave. I sense that throughout that building, different floors, there's like different fruit of the Spirit. And I sense that you'll be able to press a button, or God may even just take you to one of those floors just momentarily if there's a fruit of the Spirit that he wants you to develop in, or that you want to develop in as you go on this process of discovering this next season, that God's wanting to do something in you, but then through you also, especially in that fruit of the Spirit. Choose your fruit of the Spirit that God wants to deal with you.
Oh, Gary, that reminds me of when we were first married, and we used to choose a fruit of the Spirit each year we wanted to grow in. And one year we chose patience. We both desperately needed patience. Well, did we learn patience? It took us 10 years. We were trying to have kids. Wouldn't necessarily recommend that process. Anyhow, Gary, do you want to pray for us?
Yes. Father, I just thank you today for everyone that's listening, that you will help them each to have a real perspective of you, of the Father's heart, and that you will help them to develop a place where they can develop intimacy with you, where they can hear you, where they can just take time out at times to hear you, but also a place where they're able to go in their mind to have intimacy with you and your son. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening. Father, bless them. Bless them in their capacity to hear, see, feel, and know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We would love to hear from you how we can fine-tune the Hearing God podcast to meet your needs. So we've created a survey. You can find that if you go to garyandjane.co/survey. garyandjane.co/survey. If you fill that in and put your email there, there's an opportunity to win a $50 Amazon gift card. It's not sponsored by Amazon in any way, but we would really appreciate hearing your feedback so that we can make the Hearing God podcast meet your needs. Thank you so much for listening.